All right, John, if we were doing an oil spill glossary, we'd have static kill, we'd have big kill.
Blowout preventer.
One of my favorites. Here's my favorite. Corexit.
What is Corexit?
Now, I know you're thinking that maybe it's like the old-fashioned whiteout that we used to use in the last century.
Oil be gone.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a dispersant, which also goes in our oil spill glossary. And very controversial. There are those who would argue that this chemical dispersant, especially Corexit, is just as damaging as the oil. And there's a lot of debate going on right now.
There's a question about how much, who had the decision, who made the decision,
and who is
watching the whole dispersant thing.
Yeah, over the weekend, a congressional panel said, you know, BP has been releasing numbers about how much they actually used, and they're like, nah, we don't buy it. So we're going to go to Matthew Wald now. He's a reporter for our partner, the New York Times, and we're going to be talking to him about Corexit. So, Matthew, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. So talk about the BP estimate of how much dispersant they used. Why is that being questioned?
Well, it has a sort of fog of war character to it because they were voluntarily reporting to Congress on how much they were using, and they were also making daily requests to the Coast Guard for how much to use and saying how much they had used, and the two sets of numbers don't match. In fact, they were reporting larger numbers to Congress than they were to the Coast Guard, and it leaves an impression that they themselves weren't clear on how much they were using. But the real problem is that the EPA told them to make the use rare, and in fact, they were using the stuff every day. They did cut the volume, but they were using it every day.
And when we talk about volume, what are we talking about?
We're talking about quantities in the thousands of gallons, sometimes more than 10,000 gallons a day. They would look at where they spotted a slick with an airplane and whether they could get ships to it to scoop it up, to burn it, and if they couldn't, they'd bomb it with dispersants, and they pretty much played it like it was a war, like you couldn't have a strong advanced plan. You just had to attack this stuff as the opportunities presented themselves.
We were being a little lighthearted in our discussion of Corexit at the beginning of this segment, but talk about the conversation that is going on about Corexit. What are the damages that some scientists ascribe to it?
It's not so much that the damages are certain to be large. It's that we don't really know, and nobody's used it in this volume before. Of course, nobody's faced this much oil before. So you can feed it to microorganisms. You can feed it to fish. You can take fish tissue samples and get some ideas. But it's mostly uncertainty, and not that BP and the Coast Guard took the physician's oath, but there is a principle here, you should do no harm. And it's not clear what they did. On the other hand, the oil was clear harm. It's a little bit like chemotherapy. You're fighting a poison with a poison.
But weren't there other alternatives to Corexit that could have been used?
There were. They were mostly mechanical. I should say there are, because they're still doing a little bit of oil fighting down there. But they were scooping up oil, which you can only do if the sea is calm enough, if you got the assets in place. There was burning, which you can only do if the sheen of oil is thick enough. There was scooping it up off the beach, which is not anybody's preferred alternative. And then there was this dispersant, the purpose of which is to speed up natural processes.
Right.
Oil is a natural material. Even without spills, it comes out naturally and seeps, and bacteria naturally eat it. This was trying to get the bacteria to eat a little faster.
All right, Matthew Wald, hold on there for a second. Gary Skinner joins us now from Dauphin Island in Alabama. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How you doing?
Now, you're a shrimper. If I've got some shrimp that have been marinated in Corexit or that oil from the BP Gulf, how's that going to taste in my jambalaya this morning?
Well, it's like the other gentleman said, we have no idea what the effects is going to be. So far, the tests they've done on the shrimp they have sampled in the areas they've been opening back up, everything's been fine.
And you're actually fishing again in a small area that's been opened. I suspect there's a lot of competition in that one area, but what are you seeing in your nets?
No, it's the area that opened was Mobile Bay, and the shrimp, the larger shrimp's already migrated to the Gulf, which is still closed because of the oil spill. But the boats that did work Mobile Bay, everything looked normal. They had seen no oil on the nets, and they're actually dragging the bottom. And so far in the state of Alabama, we haven't had the oil in our marsh grasses and nurseries like they have in Louisiana. So we might have dodged a bullet here.
And is that really good news and an argument for opening up your areas?
We believe so. I've talked to scientists that has nothing to do with anyone's where money is changing hands, and they feel pretty confident that our damage is going to be minimal. We won't really know probably for 2 years until everything gets back to normal, get boats dragging back out in 300-400 feet of water and just see what they catch.
2 years, that's a lot of data, Matthew Wald. I suspect you're going to be doing shrimp stories into the indeterminate future. Matthew? Is Matthew with us?
We're still studying Ixtoc-1 and the Exxon Valdez, so there are still studies going on spills 20 years ago.
So, Gary Skinner, do you think Mother Nature is bouncing back here?
Yeah, I believe so. I know a couple scientists that's retired, and they believe that this is no Valdez because of the water temperatures and the microorganisms that eat the oil. And they said like the water temperature for the Valdez was probably in the 30s. Our water temperature is pushing 90s, and a lot of evaporation and different type of oil. So we're just being optimistic, hoping.
And we're all in this huge environmental experiment. Matthew Wald, reporter for our partner, The New York Times, reporting from Potomac, Maryland. And Gary Skinner, a shrimper and owner of Skinner Seafood, a seafood retailer down in Dauphin Island, Alabama. Gary, thanks so much. And Matthew, you too.
Thank you, sir.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.